Indian movement in the 1970s, of things like the occupation of Alcatraz, with a moment in our political reawakening and sense of pride. And, you know, also I think I wanted to subvert one of the most significant symbols of this land and put it on my head upside down as a way of signifying, you know, my own cultural pride and whose land this really is.
Julian Brave Noisecat is a writer, a journalist, an Oscar-nominated filmmaker. His debut memoir is titled We Survive the Night. It's being released tomorrow, Tuesday, on October 14th. He's also co-director of the documentary Sugarcane. That does it for our show, but we're going to do part two, and we're going to put it online at democracynow.org. I'll be speaking in Santa Fe, New Mexico on October 17th, at the Lenzic Theater Friday night after the showing of the film Steal This Story, Please, along with the Oscar-nominated filmmaker Tia Lesson. So check our website at democracynow.org. Julian will be speaking at Gloon Light Bookstore in Brooklyn. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host, Claire, and you're listening to Earworm. Today, I will be interviewing a queer indie singer-songwriter from Toronto. She has started her musical journey in her childhood bedroom in Kitchener-Waterloo. She has just released an EP last week. Give it up for Nardos Almas.
Hey, what's up?
So we were just talking about your name.
Yeah.
So you wanted to separate your artist name from your real name. So, and I was talking about, like, from seeing that from your credits and, like...
Yeah, I definitely gatekeep the government last name a little. I feel like it's nice sometimes to have separation from who you are on stage and who you are as an artist versus your actual everyday life. Especially because, like, I, you know, work full-time and I do have, like, a completely regular life outside of doing music. And then I go on stage and I do the whole song and dance. And so sometimes I struggle with, like, depersonalization. I'm kind of like, wait, who am I? And, like, I see pictures of myself on stage. I'm like, who is that? Yeah. And so it's kind of cool to step into, like, a whole different thing.
Like your Hannah Montana.
Kind of Hannah Montana. Persona. You know, also, like, spelling. And, like, it's just shorter and easier to spell, so.
Where did you get Almas from?
I really wanted to, like... I didn't want to pick, like, a white last name. Like, I wanted to do something that was, like, culturally significant to me.
Oh, you didn't want Nardo Smith?
Literally, no. I could have been, like, Nardo Hannah or something. Yeah. I don't know. But I asked my mom what I should pick because I still wanted it to be from my country, which is Eritrea. Mm-hmm. And she gave me a few, but the only one that kind of, like, flowed well was Diamond, which is Almaz. Mm-hmm. And the meaning, like, my first name means flower and my last name means diamond. So it was kind of like, you know, cute and like feminine and fun. So, yeah.
On to the next.
Yes, girl.
I saw a few videos from your Instagram going back from 2021 of you singing some songs you released on your EP. What was the process of writing the songs, and was producing the songs the longest part of making the EP since you already written a lot of them years ago?
That's a good question. I feel like when I wrote the songs for the record, I never was like, I'm gonna record an EP. Like, I was just writing songs because, like, I always liked music, and I was like, okay, I guess I can, like, make something from scratch. And I just was, like, having fun doing it naturally. And then I was approached in 2022 by my producer, Steven. He, like, DM'd me and was like, hey, I want to make this music with you that you're posting on Instagram. And obviously it's scary when, like, a random man, like, messages you, but he had has a lot of mutuals with people that I already knew, and they liked him, and he was vetted, kind of thing. And so I went for it, and he ended up playing in my band, and he still plays in my band to this day. And yeah, the longest part was definitely the producing part. Like, I just wrote everything on a whim, and then making it actually happen between, like, imposter syndrome and, like, budget constraints, because people don't tell you how expensive making music is, you know?
Especially if you don't have your own studio space.
Exactly, exactly. It's like you have to rent, the hourly on studios is crazy, and I've been blessed to have friends who do a lot of stuff for me pro bono. Just like they'll go and play guitar on the track and not ask for anything in return, but most artists have to pay every single musician or learn how to do it themselves, which is another thing I feel like I've really been doing lately. I'm just like, oh, I can't pay for this, so I'm just gonna figure it out myself.
Yeah. Right. Your guitar is being just a stir.
Yes, guitar just a stir. He's the best. He also played piano on Tune Me Up, which he doesn't market himself as a pianist, but he's freaking sick, so.
Yeah. Talking about your producers, Jessester and Steven, I want to talk about how important their role was in making this EP.
Yeah, I mean, the EP wouldn't exist without them, you know? Like, they not only, like, produced the record, but also gave me a level of confidence that I would have just never had naturally. Like, even just saying that they like the songs and think that they're good from people who I already respected as musicians, especially Justice, like, coming from the background that he comes from, it made me kind of believe in my own stuff, which made me want to record it, which, and now it's released, and it was kind of a trickling down kind of thing, but they taught me a lot that will also help even if I choose not to work with them for whatever reason, which I would never do. Love them. But I can, like, go on now with the knowledge that they've given me, and I don't know. Honestly, those are, like, my parents in a weird way. My father's, my uncles.
Your two dads.
My literal two dads, yeah.
Cute. Talking a little bit about the 2021 videos again, do you still feel what you wrote back then, or have those feelings faded out?
Damn. Damn. Okay, that one's a good one. Okay, like, both, right? Because there's five songs on the record, and I would say, like one of them, Stage Dive, is, like, very, 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 like, current and present in my life, even though it was written in, like, 2022 or something like that. It, like, very much ebbed and flowed. I was, like, dating this guy who his, like, the song is about the, like, subtle racism in dating that people don't talk about kind of thing, and wanting to change yourself to become what this person wanted from you. And in my case, there were, like, parental ties involved. Their, like, parents were kind of racist and, like, not cool. And so I felt a lot of pressure when I was in that relationship. And I feel like that's something that I still struggle with to this day, like, dating now kind of thing. But then other songs, like 18 Months is, like, so old news. I'm like, the guy that I wrote it about, I never even dated, and he actually posted the song on his Instagram story being like, it was like a rocket ship emoji, like, hell yeah, man. Like, I have no idea if he knows that the song is about but, like, it's just so far behind me. Yeah. And yeah, it's just like a fun little pop song, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Doesn't hear this.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, rocket ship emoji.
I know, and I was like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like it's such a coincidence, too, that he posted that song.
Yeah, of all of them, I know. I was kind of like, oh, interesting. I mean, it is a banger, so, you know. But I don't know, we haven't talked in years, so I kind of was just like, oh, okay, girl. But yeah, I mean, he's all right, whatever. He comes to the show sometimes, so nice. I'll point him out next time.
That guy, this is what the song is
honestly
about.
Listen, if he comes to the headline show, I literally will do that. I think that'd be so funny, and I think he'd be a good sport about it, so we'll see.
That's so crazy. Oh my gosh. Actually, I have some questions about dating, but you don't have to answer.
Love! No, if anyone knows me, I love talking about this.
What's a pro and con about the dating scene in Toronto?
Well, there's layers to it because I'm also bisexual, right? So it's like with the girls, I've been struggling recently with the, like, mask femme thing. It's like, I feel like they really pigeonhole you, or, like, the culture is like you're either one or the other, and I feel like I'm so in between. Like, I do the skirts, but I do the jorts, and I do the, you know, sneakers, whatever. And I don't, like, lean super hard either way. And that has, like, proven to be an issue. Like, I'll, you know, go to the first date in, like, a feminine outfit, and then I'll pull up in a jort on the second date. And it's kind of like, ooh, with some of the girls. So I'm struggling with that. And you wouldn't expect that would happen in the, like, lesbian community. I guess maybe you would.
Yeah, because it's just, like, they judge bisexuals like crazy.
Exactly. Like. And it's, like, we're never, like, what
like
they
enough.
Want. Yeah, yeah, it's like we're either too this, too that, or too little, or yeah. whatever it may be.
Like it's very cultural, like the culture is very a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's very like I don't want to say like performative, but like I feel like why does it matter what I wear, girl? Yeah. Like I'm funny, I'm pretty, I'm cute. Come on, yeah. like
there was like this one reel I saw. It was just like, is my outfit gay enough? And then right. someone in the comments was like, it's gay enough because you're gay.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so that has been like such a thing for me. But then with boys, it's like, y'all are so boring. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like so much harder to find like a quality man. Like, that sounds so corny, but like a man who's like normal and you don't fear every outfit he puts on, and you can bring him around your friends and he won't embarrass you. Like, mm. it's so hard to find all of those things. Anyway, the Toronto dating scene is a nightmare. And on top of that, you probably get this. Everyone knows everyone. Like, what is going on with that? You meet someone on the street, you're like, oh my god, like, it's gonna be, you know, a cute thing. Like, maybe you follow them on Instagram, they've dated three people you know, there's like pictures of them in every room that,
and suddenly, like, you know their villain side.
Literally, I know. And then you, like, you know, I'd be digging, I'd be asking the people that they dated that yeah. I know, and they're
references.
Like, right, literally, references, and they're like, run far and wide. So, me, like, dating at the moment is, like, a strong word, because I'm just kind of, like, meeting people and then being annoyed within the first, or annoyed or bored within the first, like, 2 weeks. But,
interesting.
Babe, I'm trying.
No, actually, I was looking at your Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was seeing your birthday. And what I like to do with the musicians that I interview, I look up their astrology chart.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I also didn't realize that you were younger than me. I thought you were older than me.
Yes. Wait, you did your fucking research, mama. Wait, how old are you?
I'm an 02. So
okay, so it's like not that far off. 21. Yeah. So we're right there, babe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you find out?
Okay, so I found out that you have a Cancer moon. So you know your name.
Wait. How did you find that the other stuff out?
Well, you don't need the birth time.
Okay, because that was stuff. Has been my issue this
the
whole time.
The birth time, you need it for the rising. That does help a lot with a lot of other stuff.
Okay, but my moon is Cancer.
Your moon is Cancer.
What does that mean?
A lot of the Cancer moons I know are really funny. So maybe yeah.
Okay, love.
No, I also love their energy too. It's awesome.
Obsessed.
And also Cancer rules the moon.
Yeah.
So they're very in tune with their feelings.
Ooh, okay, true. Yeah. I see that.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then you also have an Aries Mercury, which I could see also. You're very energetic.
Oh, like, my God. What? Wait, I didn't know Mercury was a thing. I thought it was like moon, sun, rising, boom.
Yeah, it's interesting with Mercury because, like, that's how you flirt and how you come off, like, communication-wise.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense because I feel like the energy follows me even when I don't want it to. You know what I mean? Like, I could tone it down sometimes, girl. But yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And then you also have a Taurus Venus.
Okay.
And that means you're a lover girl.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes.
And then I find that, like, Taurus Venuses, they're usually, like, really, they have, like, a fixed attachment. So ooh. It's just, like, they're stuck on some things.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then also,
that's so true, though.
They also love, like, they're very luxurious signs. So they love, like, hearing beautiful things, wearing beautiful things. Like,
damn.
Aesthetics are always, like, on
point. Oh, my God, you're reading me so bad. The last two, I'm like, wait, why have I never thought of that? That's crazy. Okay, yes.
And then Gemini Mars. So Mars is, like, your aggression and, like, like, yeah, how you react to things.
Right.
So with it being in Gemini, they're very argumentative.
Girl, how did you... That's crazy. What the hell? That's so true. Oh my God, I love beefing everyone. That's so crazy.
It's when they attack you, that's when you're like,
exactly,
really.
Exactly. Wait, that's so true. It's like, yeah. if you don't do anything to me, girl, I'm like doing
you're
my
sure.
own thing.
Yeah.
But okay, that's wild. Okay, wow.
So yeah, that's just the surface.
I know. Imagine I had my birth time. This would be over for me. You would be telling these people all of my business.
We can also leave it out.
No, I loved that. That was so funny.
But yeah, I was going to talk about, I don't know why I brought it up. I think it was like something to do with your Taurus Mars or something. So what was your biggest inspiration writing this EP?
Probably, well, I wrote it when I was like 16 to 18 and I'm 21 now. So if I'm being honest, I don't really remember, but like the whole thing is like about identity. And like, there's a song about like the rush of like queer intimacy for the first time. Last time would be that one. And then there's like kind of being conscious of like race for the first time while dating would be Stage Dive. And you know, there's like Chew Me Up, obviously heavy topics there. And I just feel like it's like a coming of age story at the end of the day. Like it's about, I feel like it's just supposed to be like you're 18 and figuring things out kind of vibes, mm-hmm. You know?
No, I could honestly see like any of your songs being on like a coming of age movie.
Thanks. Story. Okay, obsessed. You know what? Maybe I'll get into that sync pitching. I'll start. You'll see me on Netflix next year.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking of a show. Sorry. I was thinking of Heartstopper.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait. I literally have all three books right there. I don't know if you could see. I freaking love Heartstopper. Original copies before the show came out.
Okay.
What do y'all know?
Anyway. You were on it.
No biggie.
Okay. So what did you listen to that inspired the songwriting of this EP?
I mean, okay. I don't know if you know this lore about me, but I started writing R&B music first, which is like kind of rogue if you listen to what I make now, but it was like full-blown R&B music. And I heard Stranger in the Alps by Phoebe Bridgers for the first time in 2017, or maybe like 2018, I don't know, like around the time it came out, and everything changed for me. And that's when I was like, okay, I want to do indie stuff. And so yeah, Phoebe Bridgers, she ended up putting out Punisher as well around the time that I was writing this record, and I would say she's always been the biggest inspiration, but especially on this project. And then for production, I would say like Soccer Mommy was a big inspiration, so those two for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember why I mentioned the Taurus.
Yes.
So you're talking about, will this man embarrass me with the way he dresses? Taurus Venuses, they're really particular in aesthetics, right? So it's just like, for me, I wouldn't care if someone like dresses like how someone dresses, mm-hmm. But like I could see that for you as a Taurus Venus.
Does that make me shallow? I wonder, because like I'm not saying you have to be like super fitted up, but like, oh my God, the open toe shoes. I'm not asking for like a proper fit, yeah. But it's like the skinny jeans and the open toe shoes. Like I'm just really struggling in that area. Yeah. Other than that, babe, wear what you want, you know, yeah. What I mean? But I guess you're right, like most people don't care at all, and I can see it in some of these boyfriends over here.
Yeah,
and maybe that's just who I am. I gotta start accepting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely do care about aesthetics. Literally before we started this, I was like, oh my God, thank God it's audio only, because my nails aren't done. Yeah. And you were like, girl, who can, no one's looking at your nails,
at your nails, girl.
So you're right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so what's your favorite song on the EP and why?
You know what? On the way here, I was like, I feel like she's gonna ask me that and I need to think of an answer, and then I didn't. That's the ADHD popping in. I would say when I started it, it was Skin and Bone, but now maybe it's Chew Me Up, which both of those are super slept on. So listeners,
no,
stream.
My favorite is Skin and Bone.
Oh my God!
I was listening to it on like repeat.
Yay!
On the bus ride.
Yeah. Oh my God. Good. Okay. I feel like she's the underdog of the project, but thanks.
I think it's like in the intro, it's like slow, and then you just have to wait for the build up.
Exactly.
The build up is where it gets you.
It's those damn attention spans, man. You know, no one can lock in.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to work on that too.
Me too. What are you doing to work on it?
I deleted Instagram.
Oh, that's what you were saying about. Okay. Yeah. I wish I had the strength for that. How does it work with like, do you have to promote your show a lot on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it just
reinstall and then I delete it again.
Oh my God, that's crazy. What about TikTok? Do you have a TikTok problem?
I deleted that a long time ago and I don't go on it, so.
Sorry, I definitely can't say that. Is this college radio?
Yeah, it's college.
Okay. Girl! Okay, wait, that's actually crazy because TikTok, the reels aren't a problem for me. Like, I feel like I'm not really on Instagram like that, other than to post my own stuff. But TikTok really gets me, and I can feel my brain like shriveling up every day.
Well, the thing is with Reels, like, the comments are so funny.
Yeah, like, I know. And then you see, I guess you don't know, but TikTok allows pictures in the comments now.
Oh, yeah.
It makes everything so much funnier. Like, it's so hard.
Oh,
like,
I haven't got there yet. So yeah. Maybe because when I reinstalled TikTok one time, I was looking at the comments. They were all the same comments. And so maybe it's different with images.
I think, yeah. Well, the reaction pictures, like, oh my God, the folder in my phone has grown exponentially since the whole TikTok comment thing. But yeah, no, I definitely need to, like, I need to at least do a limit or something. Because I feel like I'm on there probably 3 hours out the day. Yeah. Like, that's so bad. Anyway.
I know. And you're trying to balance.
I'm working. Exactly. I was just saying, I'm like, oh my God, I'm working full time. And I'm also doing music full time. And somehow I find time to, like, scroll on the internet.
Yeah, you sing about, you sang that one lyric about making ends meet.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Like, I gotta take it out. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, of course. I gotta research my musicians. Come on.
Wait, this is so cool.
Wait, where did I put it? This is so cool.
Yeah, no one's ever, like done that. You know what I mean? Like, looked into, like...
See, I need to, like... The thing is, like, being a... Like, I'm really trying with this, like, music journalism thing. And I really like doing it, too.
Yay! Okay, so there's passion. There's like, passion, obviously, yeah.
And it's really hard with local artists.
Yeah. Do you mean, like... Oh, because... Oh, there's like, not, like, a lot of...
Internet.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you did a great job, girl. Honestly,
Yeah, I tried to search up you, but then I saw on Instagram, so it's...
You should do the Zodiac thing with everyone. It's really good. That's a really good bit. Because I'm out here like, you know what I mean?
Clocked.
Yes. Okay. Keep that going. Anyway.
So in one of your songs, you talk about making ends meet. How difficult was it to balance that with making music and also like processing your feelings through music too?
It's definitely tough. Like, I feel like I always talk about specifically with like housing, specifically in Toronto as well. There's like obviously a huge housing crisis going on, and it's so hard to find somewhere that's like affordable, stable, like you can stay for a while and like your landlords aren't crazy. I feel like all three of those things have never been possible for me. And so it's always so hard to write or work on a specific body of work while you don't really have like a home base, like an actual home, because you don't really feel comfortable in any space. And that's coming from me who like I do session songwriting as well, so I'm writing in like different studios, different spaces all the time. But when it comes to your own project, it's so nice to like have a space that like this project exists in and lives in, kind of thing. And so, you know, when I was working kind of more odd jobs, now I'm like just working one full-time job that I actually quite like. But when I was working miserable odd jobs for a while, I was just like, you're so uninspired and you have a level of like pessimism that it's like unique to that experience, I feel like. And I don't know, I feel like there was a lot of struggle involved that sometimes improves the music because you have to like
experience things.
Exactly. Like you kind of have to put yourself through stuff, and like struggle sometimes is important to art. And I think that's like the best part about being a songwriter. It's like bad shit happens to you and you're like, okay, that sucked, but at the very least I can write about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's definitely a lot of like nuance to that.
No, I saw that there's a lot of people who like become artists that come from higher middle class.
Yeah.
And like I saw like in the comments it said, and surprisingly they make the worst artists.
I know, it's so true. And like obviously the Nepo baby conversation is so rampant right now. And like, what's your view on Nepo babies really quick? Sorry, not to flip the script on you, but like,
it really depends if they actually have talent.
That's what I'm saying. If the music's Clara good, the music's good. Exactly.
Yeah.
But what's the Clara lore? I thought it was like her dad like knew somebody that knew somebody, but he doesn't work in music, does he?
No, he doesn't work in music. I think he's like he owns Converse or something.
Oh, I guess that is a Nepo baby. I thought a Nepo baby was in the person's field. You know what I mean? Like if Clara was like, ooh, I'm gonna make a, you know, Margiela collab, it's like a little bit.
Well, the thing is like if they are rich enough, they have those connections to.
Yeah, that this is true. People. But isn't that just being rich rather than being a Nepo baby?
Well, if it's like, because Converse, they collab with a lot of artists too, right?
This is true. They're definitely, I guess there's like a, there's some tie
there. There's a little bit.
But I feel like that one's stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? Like, people are rich all the time.
My Hawk is good, though.
Yeah, My Hawk is like an ultimate nepo baby. Yeah. Double. Both parents is
double whammy.
I know. I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. And like Audrey Hobart, I guess too. But I love Audrey Hobart. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry.
Oh,
Audrey Hobart's great. I really love Audrey Hobart.
You gotta chop it up.
No, honestly, I always forget to like tell people, like,
no, I'm really bad with
maybe
it.
Maybe not swear or like, you know, start banging on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I always forget, and honestly, it's like you guys are showing your like most natural selves.
That makes me feel better.
So okay. I honestly don't mind editing. I guess.
Editing Claire, my bad girl. Love you, sister.
Okay, sorry. Should we? You said we're talking about nepo babies.
Okay, like if you've got talent, you've got talent. I just don't like when they deny being a nepo baby. You know what I mean? Like when they're like, yeah. Or I saw Ariana Greenblatt because she was like, yeah, my dad was in like one movie in the 90s. Like it was like, well, just one movie in the 90s. Like whatever. Girl, Nightmare on Elm Street. What do you mean, just one movie? It's like a massive movie. It's like, come on. You know what I mean? Like,
so funny.
When they try to play it down, just be like, yeah, babe, I had it easy and I'm talented. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish there was more, like, authenticity, which I think that's all another conversation, but we're starving for authenticity in the music scene, I feel like.
So, talking about sexuality again, they say that having the first relationship with a girl is the most agonizing and traumatizing. Would you agree?
Well, that's what everyone says. I think I have, like, when men put you through the ringer enough, it's like, girl, this is nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I feel like I can't speak on that quite yet. I need to get some more experience in the game.
Same.
Right? You know what I mean?
Because like, no, they don't be liking the bisexuals. Like
Exactly.
Like, come on.
I'm
Give
right
us
here.
A chance.
I know. It's like, I'm normal, I promise. Yeah. So you get it. I didn't even know you were bisexual till just now.
Oh, yeah.
See, girl? See? It's like...
Girl, I saw you at the lesbian picnic.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I lied. I should have known. I'm like, look at the outfit. Come on. Oh my God.
Not you, like, quizzical.
But the thing is though, like, I wasn't like, oh, Claire's straight either. Like, I just didn't think about it. You know what I mean?
No, I always get, like, it's so funny, like, people from, like, lesbians from my high school are asking me now, like, are you gay? I'm like, well, yes.
Well, yeah.
Like, why are you asking?
I know. Why do you want to know?
Like, they were just profiling me, like, back then. It was crazy.
Yeah. My thing is, like, if bisexuals are struggling with dating lesbians, why don't bisexuals just date each other? Because it's, like, there's all this discourse about, like, and then also if you, like, God forbid you break up with a lesbian and then date a man after, you're fucked. That's, like, sorry. You're cooked.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. I mean, like, there is this one take. It was a hot take. But I saw this lesbian be like, but wouldn't you rather have your bisexual that you broke up with, like, date a man after instead of, like, a girl?
Yeah.
And you're comparing yourself to the girl instead of...
I know. But I guess you technically could, though, depending if you're, like... I feel like more mask. I feel like he'd be like, oh, you know what I mean?
I guess.
There's something there. I wouldn't know what it is, but there's something there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it's like, when people have like insecurities about like other people, it's always like nothing to do with them though.
This is true. So. This is so true.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so you're doing a show with Marielle soon.
This is true.
How does it feel headlining your first show?
Oh my God, I cannot express, like, even with putting this EP out, like, putting an EP out and playing a headline show, or, like, any type of project out, has been, like, the two biggest dreams of my entire life since, like, early teenagehood, when I was like, okay, maybe I want to do this music thing. And it took so long, but, I mean, I'm grateful that, like, people care. Genuinely, it's like, it sounds corny, but if people didn't listen to the music, I would not be able to play a headline show. And the community that I feel like I've built out here in Toronto, and the way that it's expanded into, like, a smidge of a baby little fan base that's just barely blooming, is so special and something I never thought could actually happen. Yeah, like, at my last show, I saw someone in the front row singing the lyrics that I didn't know this person. I remember being so excited. It was the first time something like that had ever happened to me, and it's, like, crazy that real people are connecting to the music. And on top of that, real people are paying real tangible money that they work for to come to the show. Like, that is just something I could never even imagine, especially because I was an opener for so long. Like, people aren't paying to see you. And so, I don't know, there's less pressure, but it's also like, I don't know. This is one of the greatest, like, coolest things that I think I'll ever do. Well, for a while. But yeah, I'm excited to play for longer than half an hour. Yeah. And, you know, do some bits and have time to, like, I like to joke around a lot. Yeah. On stage. So it should be fun. But Marielle is the coolest, and she's, like, one of my favorite artists. So when she said yes to open, I was so excited. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm like, are you coming, girl?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm coming.
Okay, great.
I have to buy my ticket first.
That's okay.
My brother and I think we're coming.
That would be so fun. Okay, yeah. It'll be a great time. And, yeah. Nothing more on it. It'll be a good time. We haven't started rehearsals yet, so I'm like, I don't know. I can't promise you anything, but I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Is Justice and Steven going to be...
Justice is... Steven actually moved to Nova Scotia last year, so we have a drummer filling in for the next, like, year or two until he gets back, but his name's Ilya, and he's great, so that'll be great. But Justice, for sure. OG was there at my first ever show, and it's really special to have him at my headliner. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
How did you meet Marielle?
Ooh, I mean, through the, like, you know, Hans and Melina crew, just like mutual musician friends. We were at, like, a party at Hans's house, I want to say, like, 2 years ago. And I was just like, this girl is so down to earth. Like, she's, like, the most genuine person to ever walk this planet. Like, when she says something to you, she means it. And she, like, also is very intentional about her words, which I really love about her. And Justice. Justice is like that, too. They, like, take a second before they respond, which I feel like some people, you know, short attention spans, like we said, like, might not like that, but that's, like, the best quality about them, I feel like. I love her so bad. Oh, she's the best.
Shout out Marielle.
Shout out Marielle. Stream Eye to Eye, baby.
No, literally, her EP.
It's so good.
So good. Do you have that shirt?
I do. I'm like, it's like my favorite merch t-shirt. I actually usually wear it with this outfit. Imagine I was wearing it right now. Next time, guys. Next time.
Yeah, even though... No, she's actually wearing it right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Guys, me and my Marielle shirt. Like, I knew you in an afternoon. Sing it.
Yeah. So, yes. Why is it so important to support other artists as you and Marielle do?
I mean, it's like, there's nothing without community, I feel like. It's like, the first people to support your music is going to be other musicians, and they, you know, post your music or cover your music, and that, I feel like, a lot of the time is what gets it out to a wider audience. Also, I feel like collaboration is something that's so special, and it's like, kind of hard to do, and building connections with artists in general, I feel like, can be hard because you never know what people's intentions are depending on the level that you're at. So it's nice to be able to build connections with people early and be able to, like, nurture those connections for, you know, a long time until you're all grown up and, you know, we're rich and famous and playing stadiums, and then we'll open for each other then the way we opened for each other now. So,
oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. We definitely have, like, the best music community out here, I would say. Sorry to the Kingstoners listening, because y'all don't even get what we got going on.
No, like, literally, because, okay, Kingston, as you would guess, like, there's just a bunch of, like, non-POCs.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-POCs, like, white people.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, like, you could imagine just, like, very student bands, like...
Right. There isn't, like, much of, like, a serious scene, air quotes, by the way. Serious,
or there's
scene.
Just, like, one genre.
Oh, wait, much. What genre?
It's, like, rock.
Oh, like rock, like super...
Like classic rock.
Oh, my God, okay, interesting. And it's, like, dudes, I bet, mostly.
Yeah.
Damn, sorry.
Even Guelph has a better...
Yeah, Guelph, okay, scene. Guelph... Like, I know. Don't sleep. They have come up so much too in the last, like, 2 years. Jazzy and funk scene, even indie scene. Obviously, Shebad's out there, like, killing it and, like, making everyone proud. Yeah, Guelph is near Kitchener Waterloo, and I've always been so jealous of what they have going on there.
You can, like, go back.
I know. I'm like, well, but no, I'm like, Toronto's just doing it in a way that I feel like no other city's doing it. Like,
it's so warm,
right? And there's so many different genres, and you know, there's still issues in the Toronto music scene for sure. I'm not gonna say it's like the most diverse and the most inclusive, but we're many steps ahead of these other cities. That's, I would true. say, but also like our population is like quadruple, yeah. You know,
the thing is, like, okay, my brother, he visited Winnipeg recently.
Yeah.
And they are so, like, their community is so crazy tight that, like, they will, it's not like transactional, even though, like, I get it for Toronto, like, it's really hard to live here, but like in Winnipeg, they just rent out venues for free.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, because they know the people, like...
That's sick. Yeah. Wait, what do you mean, like...
The community, like, is so close that, like, the people who rent rent venues out, yeah. Like, they know the people also, and they just, like, do it for free.
I love that. Wait, yeah. Well, that makes total sense, because I feel like Winnipeg's got such a tight-knit community, yeah. Like you said. But it's like, what do you do for work in Winnipeg? I don't know. Yeah. Like, I guess housing's probably really cheap there, too. Yeah, so yeah. Just in general, people can afford to do stuff for free. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been, but I know a lot of people from there, and I want to go. But like I said, it's like all white people, no? And it's like all white people or Filipino people. It's like, but there's nothing in between. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's nothing in between. And like, I don't know. You know what? I love me some Filipinos, so maybe I should go.
Yeah, Filipinos are, I feel like they're really hospitable.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've like, the Filipinos are like the most generous people that I've ever met. And it's funny because when I moved here and I became friends with Lourdes, obviously, she introduced me to a lot of Filipino people. Melina introduced me to like her crew and her, obviously. And I like realized that like all my friends were Filipino, and I was like, wait, what happened? And then I talked to my mom about it when I was visiting her, and she was telling me how she has a work bestie who's Filipino. Yeah. And she's like, and I was just saying that all this to Lourdes, but she was like, she's so generous. My work bestie is so kind, and she'll like inconvenience herself to like do something for me all the time, whatever. And I'm like, I was just saying this like the other day. It's crazy that both me and my mom have Filipino besties.
Yeah.
Anyway, love y'all for real.
Annoying.
Literally, I'm like, oh my god, I wish we need to do a closet tour after this. I have a jacket.
You have a jacket.
I have a Filipino or Filipina on the back jacket, no. And then Lourdes got me these shorts that say Filipina across the crotch. They're
That's
like boxing
crazy.
Shorts. I love those items. But yeah,
wow. So you're Filipino, basically.
Literally, I'm like the adopted sis. Me and Lourdes are actually going in 2020, like, and we're trying to go either end of 2026 or 2027.
That's awesome.
Because I've never been. She went recently and said it was life-changing. Apparently, there's a good, like, queer scene out there.
Yeah, there's, like, the most famous person in the Philippines is a trans woman.
Wait, what? That's beautiful. Yeah. What do they do?
And she has, like, the most influence in, like, the Philippines.
Wait, what?
And she's, like, politically correct, too.
Wait, what does she do? Like, what's her thing that made her famous?
So, there's this, like, a really big game show that's called Showtime, and she's, like, the main host, and she runs the show, basically.
Hey, yeah, good really for cool. her.
Her name is Vice Gunda. Vice Gunda. If you ever wanna...
I need to see her. Wait, what a diva!
Yeah.
And what are the... I don't know if this is, like, weird to ask, but what are the, like, laws around, like, gay marriage, like just gay stuff in general? Like, are they chill with gay people there? I thought it was kind of like iffy.
I'm not sure with gay marriage because it is like a Christian country.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Or Catholic, I thought. Or no.
Yeah, it's a Catholic country where divorce is illegal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This I have heard, but that means there's no way that like they're definitely not chill. But then how do they have like a super famous trans person? That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's definitely something here. I'm gonna have to look into that. That's crazy. Good for y'all.
We have like it's just like how here it's like gay lingo is like very popularized.
Gotcha.
It's also the same in the Philippines. I could teach you some actually.
Yes.
Charot.
Charot
means I'm joking.
So like you can use it in a sense. No, that's been
like, oh my gosh, did you get that out of the trash or something? Charot.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait, what's that one that Lourdes taught me about, like, give me a sec, this is gonna take a second to dig up, where it's like, okay, wait, you might say it. Okay, keep going.
I low-key only know two. So.
Okay, what's the other one?
Tarai.
Oh, okay, what's that?
Yeah, that one is tarai. Like, it's like along the same lines of charot, but it's like a insult, though.
Okay. Wait, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the one that she taught me was, I don't know if this is like a her family thing or a Filipino thing, but when you're overacting, she'll be like, oh my God, you're so OA. Oh, is OA, that a thing?
Yeah,
OA.
Or arte.
Oh, arte. Okay. Yeah. What does that mean?
So OA is like you're over dramatic.
Like, yeah. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, like, oh my God. You know what I mean?
Arte is like you're acting like, like you're above us.
You know?
Like,
oh, you think you're better than, like, yeah, okay, exactly. Got you.
So, like, if you, if something is, like, really gross or something, and you, like, ew, I'm not touching that, like, arte mo.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's like, you think you're above that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Wait, I want to teach you some from my country now.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. they're hard to say, so I don't expect you to say them. But the language is called Tigrinya, and the slang term is like chenawit, which means like piece of. Wait, how do I say that without saying that word? Like the gum under my shoe kind of vibes, like chenawit. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Yes, yeah. It's like I can't with you. Like, oh my God, like kind of thing.
Okay.
I think that's like the only one that is actually applicable in day to day. I feel like you have better ones than I do. But anyway, I'll come prepared next time.
The thing is with like, okay, there's this one lingo that's not gay from the Philippines. Carps.
Oh.
You ask someone carps.
Okay.
Which means, are you game? Which means, are you G? Which spells rug. And then carpet. And carps.
Oh my so God. Wait. Okay, that's crazy. I totally forgot this was queer lingo, by the way. Mine was not queer at all. But that's crazy. Yeah. Do you use that in your day-to-day, would you say?
No.
Do you use any of these in your day-to-day?
No.
Do you have a lot of Filipino friends?
Yes. I grew up in Scarborough, so it's like... I also went to a Catholic school, so it's just, like, a bunch of Filipinos.
Mixed. Yeah, gotcha.
Mixed is, like, more public schools, but, like...
Catholic school is, like, all Filipino?
Yeah.
Whoa, yeah. Okay, crazy.
A lot of Filipino. So I grew up, like, being comfortable with my race.
That's nice.
And then I go to Queens, and I'm like, Ooh. Oh, hell no.
Wow, okay, wait, that is actually kind of crazy. I've never...
Yeah.
I don't know that I've met anyone that went in that order. Usually it's the other way.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you grow up, it's, like, super white neighborhood, super white school, and then you go to high school, it's a little more diverse, and then you go to university, it's, like, super diverse. Mm-hmm. But
I guess it's the opposite. Yeah, it's an opposite for me.
Crazy.
And I learned to really appreciate my... city. So
why did you go, like, respectfully, why, like, if you're so close to Toronto and you're like, ooh, Kingston, like, was the school just like really good or what?
Well, the thing is, like, I guess I'm not like the intentional type, because I got like the offer like really late, and I was just like,
okay,
whatever, yeah. I'll just go there.
Yeah.
I was gonna go to Ottawa.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I had, like, acceptance to, like, TMU also, but then everybody from my high school went to TMU, so I did not want to just, like...
continue high school, but, like, in a different building. Yeah,
exactly.
I get that. That's fair. And were you, like, kind of... because I always meet you Toronto's, you know, kids, the kids that grew up near here or here, where they're like, oh, I just have to move somewhere else. Like, I just have to, like... and it's, like, because they're, like, I guess sick of Toronto, which I just really could never understand that. Was that you?
I wasn't sick of Toronto. I was, like, more, like, I wanted to grow up a bit and, like, be independent.
You felt like you couldn't do that it being, like... because if you went, like, to school in Toronto, you'd live at home still, obviously. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah, so...
yeah.
I just wanted to be more independent,
that's
I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was really homesick a lot.
Yeah. So.
And then last year, I was, like... back and forth, Toronto and Kingston. I was like ready to get out of school for real.
I know, yeah. Wait, what do you study?
Mechanical engineering.
You're smart.
No.
Well, I've been known you're smart, but like that kind of smart. That's crazy. I get that. You have to really get used to it, like all up in the crevices and Yeah, sorry. It's, oh my God. You in the editing room?
My bedroom.
I know, literally. Poor Lourdes. I feel like I've done that to her many times in other ways. I'm like, wait, let's do it again.
I mean, you guys did the whole photo shoot, right?
Yeah. All of the shoots that we did were, like, just me and her. Just, we go somewhere, or we do it, like all two of them were in this apartment. Skin and Bone was right there.
You were like,
yeah, I'm like reaching. And then Chew Me Up was in the bathroom. We have like a glass shower door, and we like used a clothing steamer, and we like steamed it so that it could be like all foggy.
Oh.
And then that one was, or I should say it out loud, the EP one with Close Contact cover art where my face is smushed against the table, we did at her apartment because they have a glass dining table.
Oh, awesome.
She was just under there, and I was like, it was a whole thing. Yeah, but hey man, no budget, you gotta make you gotta make stuff shake.
Exactly
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Have you ever tried writing a song?
No.
I feel like you'd be good at it.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like,
because you can definitely sing.
Start.
First of all, you can sing, right? Yeah, girl, I know. Yes, exactly.
You're just guessing.
I mean,
okay, you just outed me. Okay, I could Filipino sing. Like, I don't know if I could actually sing.
You see, that's what they all say. You know what I mean? Because Lourdes, she's always, oh my God, no, I can't sing. She can sing, for sure, for sure. And I'm going to try to get her out at the headliner somehow and sing, like, something.
Ooh,
even just one, two, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you wrote a song with Lourdes?
No, she doesn't write, but I guess she's never really tried. Like, she writes for film, but she doesn't write music.
Right.
I should bully her into it. I'm honestly, though, really bad at writing for, or like with other people for myself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if me and someone are writing together, it has to be their song or a song for like a commercial, which is also what I do to pay the bills sometimes, girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you write songs for commercials?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. I like work at a production company and yeah, exactly. So you get into the commercial world. I also write K-pop songs for money.
Whoa.
Sometimes. Some of which got purchased recently. And the scary thing about when you're in a writing session for like a general thing and then it ends up getting pulled is they don't tell you who's using it, what they're using it for, or if it'll even come out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, babe, you'll be on TikTok and you'll hear something that you were a part of writing and you're like, but you signed an NDA, so you can't say anything. Anyway.
Damn.
But I know it's kind of crazy. But I honestly love K-pop music, and I think it's cool that they are, a lot of the time it's like recession pop kind of vibes, like I'm in the club and I'm dancing and I'm, you know what I mean, like super like lighthearted stuff, but sometimes like you need that, you know, and people joke about recession pop because like we are either in a recession or heading towards a recession, but it's like even recession or not, like sometimes it's nice to take yourself out of like real world like sad stuff and just dance and have a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. K-pop, wow.
You're unlocking parts of recipe. I mean, K-pop pays really, really, really well, so you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
You gotta do what you gotta do,
yeah.
For real. Okay, so you once opened for Leith Ross.
Mm.
How was that experience for you, and would you ever work on a song with them?
Ooh, I mean, for sure, yeah. I mean, Leith is like on a whole nother level of writing that is like, oh, they're just so insane. And that's why they've gained such a crazy amount of success.
Mm-hmm.
Opening for that show genuinely was the most like important thing that has ever happened to me. And you know, that might change later on as I experience stuff as I get older and whatnot. But I met all the people in my life that are the most important to me, either on that night or leading up to that night or related to that night, kind of thing. They asked me kind of out of the blue, like we've always been internet friends, but to be, I don't know, like an internet connection leading you to something like that was like not what I was expecting. I just thought we were like mutuals and we repost each other's music. And the show happened right around the time that they like were getting a lot of traction on TikTok. And so it was like sold the hell out. Their fans were so sweet, dedicated, and like just like, no one's got a better fan base than Leith, I gotta say it. Like, it's like all gay people who are like nice, like so sweet and like passionate about music, and then also are like respectful, very, very respectful. I don't know, I feel like I could not have been blessed with a better first show, like being welcomed into the Toronto music scene with that show. Like, I literally to this day, I'm like, how did that happen to me? It's crazy. Like, they could have picked all these people that are, you know, incredible musicians in Toronto. They went to college in Toronto, and they know like literally the best of the best that Toronto has to offer, and the fact that they asked me to open to this day is so wild. And that was the first time Stephen and Justice played in my band, and that led us to making the record, and I met Lourdes on that night, I met Lane on that night, and just man, it was the best night of my life, honestly. I did get, like, deathly ill the very next day, and I remember being like, I don't even care. I don't even care, because that was, like, so sick.
Because you put all your energy into that.
For sure, yeah. And also, like, I was meeting so many people. There was, like, so many, obviously, it was, like, 2,000 people there? I don't even know. Something like that.
And like 2022.
Yeah, 2022.
I think
so
I was supposed to go to that show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it ended up selling out. Yeah.
Fair. It was so cool. And I was, like, added onto the bill after it sold out, too, which is, like, kind of sick, because promoting things, anything, even if I care about it and I'm excited about it, can be, like, kind of exhausting, because you're trying to convince people to, like, spend their money on you. And, like, you're trying to convince... And I don't know, it's just, like, there's guilt attached to that no matter what the event is. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool that I just got to show up and play my songs, and people were so goddamn nice to me. Like, people from that show still come to my shows these days, like, to this day, and are like, I came to see you. I saw that you were on this bill, and I bought tickets because I remember you from the show. And, like, man, I just feel lucky. And this is your sign and everyone's sign listening to put yourself out there on the internet. Post the videos. It's embarrassing, but it will pay off, and it will lead to, like, life-altering moments. So, yeah. I love that. I think about it all the time.
That's amazing. Yeah. What would you tell other queer artists to share music as you do?
Yeah. Probably... Ooh, wait, hold on. I don't even know. Maybe, like, don't put stuff out that you don't genuinely love, because it comes across in the promo. You know what I mean? Like, when you're trying to promote things in, like, kind of surface-level ways, which there's nothing wrong with that, and sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. But I feel like people can tell when you genuinely love the music and when you're genuinely proud of it. And so I'm like, before you start, you know, posting about actual songs that you've already made and are planning on releasing, just make sure you really love them and, you know, like, believe in them still. But I don't know, in terms of, like, how that connects to queerness, I feel like the same goes for everybody, you know? I try not to make my queerness, like, the center of the music. Even though it does gain the most traction, I find. Like, as soon as you're like, hashtag WLW, people are like, yes! Willowa, literally. I'm like, they love it. It gains a lot of traction, but I also think it's important to, like, be a great artist outside of it, you know? I don't know. Like, yeah. That goes with anything, really. Like, I don't know. And obviously, there's intersectionality involved with me. And so I try not to make any part of my identity too, like, centered in the music and the way that I promote the music. Because at the end of the day, girl, I'm just a girl writing songs like everybody else, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're near the end of the interview. If you could collab with any artist or band, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. Like, any?
Any.
Oh my God. That's, like, the craziest question of all time. I'm gonna say, I don't know. Are we, like, make a song with them? Like, yeah. Oh my God, that's so hard. Like, I'm torn between, obviously, Phoebe Bridgers, Samia. Oh my God, I love Samia so much. That would be so cool. Like, I don't know. Like, lots of cool artists that I love. I'm, like, forgetting every artist I've ever listened to right now. I really like Humble the Great. He's cool. He's, like, a smaller artist, but he's killing it right now. Yeah. Oh my God, Ryan Beatty. Except, you see, the thing is, like, I don't actually want that to happen, because I would, like, embarrass myself in front of him. But it'd be cool. Same with, like, Lizzie McAlpine. That'd be great. But all these people are just on a whole nother caliber that would intimidate the out of me. Or... intimidate the heck out of me. But all of those would be so cool. I don't know. I feel like I listen to a lot of different genres, so I try to pick people who kind of make something similar than I make. But yeah, those are some real legends over there.
So what can fans anticipate for the future? What type of projects are you working on at the moment?
Ooh, so EP1 took so long to make that I already wrote EP2. And so we're going to record that in the spring. And then, I don't know when we'll put it out. Like, we'll put it out whenever it's ready kind of thing. And then I want to do an album after that. So, we're still in EP City. I still have some to learn. but I'm excited. It's going to be a little longer this time, hopefully. And the songs, I feel like, have a little more nuance to them. Like, the other songs were a little... Like, they were very... They're just kind of straightforward. Like, they are what they're about. But there's more, like, poetic, like, business going on. And I'm also, like, writing a lot about... like real people that you know, we see in the streets all the time, like people in the scene. And so it's kind of going to be interesting singing songs about people at shows that are either at the show or on stage with me at the show. Or like, I feel like this one's going to be a lot more personal and current. So we'll see.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Meta.
I know.
That's interesting.
I know.
Me, like, thinking already.
Wait, what are the logistics of getting your own show on a college radio thing?
Dude, it was actually really easy. I just signed up and sent in a demo.
And they were like, okay. Yeah. And how do you get, like, what's your number? Like, 103.3 or something?
Oh, CFRC 101.9.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, yeah, you said it at the beginning.
And Monday's at 1 p.m.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. And so do you play, like, in the school? Or
yeah. It's in the city.
Kingston. Oh, in the whole city.
Yeah.
Look at you, girl. I love that. I love that. Okay. My song recommendations are... Rachel Bobbitt has an album coming out on October 17th. Listen to Life by the Marsh. But songs that are out... I love Leslieville Line Man by Mahmood.
Mahmood.
Yeah.
Did you go to the concert?
I did. I freaking love him. He's also Eritrean, which is kind of rare. Oh. Like, I feel like I can't think of a single other Eritrean artist. There's like The Weeknd's Ethiopian, but it's not quite the same. It's close, but it's not the same. And so I had to go support, and it was such an insane show. It had my gears turning for my own headline show. It was like...
And Justice... did a solo.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that.
He plays in Mahmood's band. Isn't it kind of crazy that Justice plays for two Eritrean artists? I'm like, that's so, like, niche.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the fact that he happens to work... Anyway, whatever. I'm like, that, like, feels so random. But, I mean, he's working with everyone, so...
Yeah, that's true. Mustafa.
Yes, big time.
Crazy.
But yeah, it was a great show. He was like, did you see? He was like in the middle of the audience for some of the songs. I'm like, I didn't even think that was an option. I mean, I don't know if I could do all that, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him in the video of Justice doing his solo. Everybody was facing the other way.
Yeah.
I was like,
what's going on? Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. He's like a visionary, truly. Like, he's always pushing the needle. So, shout out Mahmood. Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Thank you so much for doing this interview.
Of course.
Everybody stream her new EP, Close Contact.
Yeah.
Especially Skin and Bone.
Yes.
That's my fave.
Skin and Bone. Thanks, girl. Thanks for listening. Like, actually, seriously, thank you for listening.
Yeah. I had to.
True. I mean,
you're Nardo's Ahmet, so we had to know.
Oh my God. Wow. My Nardwar moment. Dude, he's coming to Toronto in November. I'm sad. I'm so sad.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll see you there, babe.
I'll see you there.
But no, genuinely, when real people listen to the music and talk to me about specific like lyrics and stuff, that's like all I could have ever asked for when I was making this project. So thank you for listening. And like really listening too.
Yeah.
You're the best.
I got you. Well, thank you again.
Of course.
For doing this interview.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to edit this later.
Cool. Good luck, future Claire. Sorry, Diva. Sorry.
As the cooler weather sets in the Kingston area, CFRC and KPP concerts are turning up the heat with a stacked fall lineup. On October 10th, check out Shania Twink, followed by the Arrogant Worms on October 11th at Broom Factory. Sloan hits the Ale House on October 18th, and folks can catch the Grapes of Wrath on October 22nd, Crywank on November 1st, and Georgia Harmer on November 8th at the Broom. Billy Pfaffel, Guy Davis, and Rhea May are also playing at the Broom on November 12th, 15th, and 16th, respectively. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.
Something mighty is coming to Kingston on Wednesday, October 15th. Mighty Bird Kingston is celebrating its Mighty OG Day with a one-of-a-kind deal. You can get a delicious hand-breaded
fried chicken sandwich from Kingston's highest rated crispy chicken restaurant for just $5.99. This deal is one day only, and there is a limit of one per customer. On October 15th, swing by Mighty Bird Kingston at 764 Gardner's Road and taste the mighty difference.
Hey, Cher. I think you're pretty funny.
I think you're pretty funny, too, Tara.
Well, that's good because, you know, 30 Years of Nonsense is a great show, and we do it every Thursday from 4 to 5.
We absolutely do, and people can listen in at CFRC 101.9 or CFRC.ca.
Yeah, and we play basically all of our music from the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and current in all different genres.
And we share all of our nonsense and memories. I really hope people listen in.
Me too. See you there.
Rock, hip-hop, folk.